It's podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Well, hello, how are you? And welcome along to podcast number 45 from the XFM Breakfast Show, or as work experience Steve calls it, podcast number 44. We're going to have to work out the numbering system for Steve, aren't we?
Yeah, he's confused.
Does it just goes up in ones? That's how I remember it.
I've only learnt to 30 so far.
On podcast 45, what do you think's on it, Matt?
Lots of good stuff that's happened on the show. Simon Pegg's on it, isn't he?
Simon Pegg is on it, yeah, with all his wisdom. He dropped by and gave us loads of wisdom.
Spouting wisdom.
What were your memories of a limp quiz?
It was strong. There was a great game of ping pong.
There was a terrific game of ping pong. Just realised, it does sound, it's supposed to be an Olympic quiz, but it sounds like I'm saying, what's your memories of a limp quiz?
Yeah.
We tried out a limp quiz this week. There's news of a flying cat. Chris Packham goes a bit crazy in the newspapers. We do your good news, of course, and what's he done this time? Dexter! Jump in.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Matt, did you enjoy the Diamond Jubilee? Diamond Jubilee celebrations.
Nice to have some time off work, wasn't it? Yeah.
Nice to have some time off work, did you say?
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
That's good.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, thank you, yeah. It was nice to see London in all its glory, wasn't it?
London did look good, to be fair, yeah, yeah. I enjoyed the planes flying overhead. That was a nice image.
You love planes, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Whether flying overhead or just parked in a desert.
I missed the entire flotilla.
Did you? The whole flotilla?
Yeah, because I was trying to get to a barbecue down in Sussex.
Oh, right.
But I did go across the Thames at one point on a train and saw the back end of the flotilla, and it didn't look that impressive. It was just like loads of canoeists.
Well, the back end of the flotilla is not going to look that impressive.
I hope it was from
a high speed train.
Yeah, I hope it was better than that. It
was your whole weekend just barbecues?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching all the royals, Lord and Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Enjoyed them. I enjoyed the gig, the big concert. The big concert.
The Jubilee concert.
I
kept catching bits of that on the telly, yeah. Cliff Richard in a pink suit gyrating.
It was flesh-coloured.
And he did a proper medley. Was it flesh-coloured?
It was a flesh-coloured. Right? It was like a one-piece bodysuit, as far as it seemed to me.
It was a disturbing image.
Didn't see the Queen for quite some time, did we, at the concert? I kept thinking that maybe she was waiting for an act she liked the sound of, and then she'd turn her chair around.
Yeah.
See what I'm doing there?
Yeah.
Okay, Alicia Dixon has called for Gary Barlow to be knighted. It's quite a low-grade call, isn't it? I think he needs to do more, though, Gary, than just organise a gig, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, surely. It's a big thing.
It's like he's been take that for a while. He's been an X Factor judge, and he organised a gig.
That's true, but Alicia calls him a legend.
Wow.
And it says here in the newspaper as well that dozens of people on Twitter also called for Gary to get a knighthood.
Dozens.
That's right.
It's a glowing endorsement.
So at least 24 people on Twitter. The papers are starting to make too much of Twitter now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a kind of a subheading in the Daily Mail yesterday that said so they weren't happy with the way the BBC had done the coverage, and the subheading was Twitter user calls for BBC bosses to resign.
Just a Twitter user.
Just a random person.
That is ridiculous.
Just a Twitter user. Let's call for that to happen. That's a big story.
Some guy, basically.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens then with Sir Gary Barlow. Does sound good. Does sound good, though.
Sir Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
XFM.
He's here. It's Simon Pegg, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, one of Britain's favourite sons. Here he is. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure, as always.
Good. Yes, we were mentioning earlier, when we first started this show, Matt Dyson, Simon Pegg got in touch with the show. He happened to be listening on his way to Pinewood every day.
No, I was on my way to Shepparton to film the very film that I'm here to promote today.
Is that what was happening?
We were shooting Fantastic Fear of Everything. You kicked off the breakfast shows. Yeah. I used to listen to it in the morning as I came in.
Yeah.
And I texted in, didn't I?
You
did. And
then
you rang me. I was in the makeup chair and you rang me.
Exactly. I don't like the use of the phrase used to listen to it.
No, but I mean on that.
I know.
I've been in America for 6 months. I'm
We're
asleep
online.
When you're on.
Yeah, exactly. Simon. A Fantastic Fear of Everything is the brand new film, and it's great. It's a very unusual film.
It is. That's the kind of. Yeah, I saw it. It's unusual.
No, it's. I started it with it's great because it is great.
No, it's a strange film, and it's. I rather love it because of that. It's. It was really great to get back to sort of filmmaking. It felt more like Shaun of the Dead than Mission Impossible by a long way. And
yeah.
It was great to be making a film in the UK with a British crew, and I'm very proud of it.
It's a very cool British film. It's very sort of stylized. One of the best soundtracks
from a film
that I've seen in so long. And it does. You're right. It's far more Shaun of the Dead than Mission Impossible or something like that. And it feels like a very different film for you, but at the same time, it fits very nicely into the Simon Pegg DVD collection.
I'd hope so.
I would say. So it's a story about a guy called Jack. He's a former children's author. Didn't really want to be a children's author.
No.
He turns to kind of crime fiction, and then he researches a lot about serial killers.
Yeah, and he becomes sort of obsessed with them, but it all roots back to some darker, deeper fears that root back to his being a children's author, really. Everything he's scared of is really just a projection of a single event that happened in his childhood. And one of the things he's really scared of is the laundrette.
Yes.
And he has to go to a laundrette in the film to wash his underpants, and it's a terrifying experience.
You say in the film. Quite a lot of the film is essentially a man trying to get a shirt cleaned.
Yes, exactly. He gets the chance to meet this Hollywood agent, but he has to wash his clothes, and he hasn't done that for 3 weeks or whatever, and he has to venture out to the laundrette, and it's a terrifying ordeal, and it turns out to be something altogether darker as well.
Yeah, exactly. And he sees fear in everything. He sees danger everywhere. Are you like that in any way? Do you have irrational fears of any kind?
Not really, no. I think all my fears are perfectly rational.
Oh, right, good.
Yeah, death.
Sharks.
Yeah, sharks. Things that can kill you, basically.
Yeah. Matt, we were talking about irrational fears quite recently. You had a slightly odd irrational fear.
Well, it's just like when I was in a helicopter. Right.
Brilliant. That's how he starts every story.
For the first time ever. The door was right next to me, and I got really worried that I might suddenly just go mad and open the door and fall out.
Yeah, that's because your degrees of separation from death became diminished. Oh, and as soon as you can control your own, you know, it's the same thing as being on top of a tall building, because you know you're one decision away from death.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what it was. You could have just leapt out. You didn't know, man. That's
no,
the main
I didn't.
Thing.
It's that one decision thing, isn't it? It's like sometimes you're on a bridge and you think, I could just throw my phone in the river right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Or sometimes, you ever heard this, where you're talking to someone, and I imagine you'll probably be talking to like a French journalist or something about your latest film, and they're sort of rabbiting away, asking you questions, and you're just in your head, you're thinking, what if I just punched them in the throat?
It's a weird, it's an awful feeling, isn't it?
You ever punched a French journalist in the throat?
Never a French one, no.
Okay, good.
XFM.
Do you remember I told you about the American town of Boring, in Oregon? And it's voted in favour of formally pairing with a village in Perthshire called Dull, right? So Dull and Boring are now going to be paired. So Boring decided they would say yes. I think it was Dull that wanted to get involved, because Boring's a lot bigger than Dull. And the decision means that both places can now sell novelty tourist items, get quirky road signs made. Well, Boring alert. That's what's happening there. Now, Dull is a tiny village, and the Boring Community Planning Council, never a more apt name, I think, voted in favour of a declaration of pairing after being approached by the Dull Women's Book Club. Which is very unfortunately named, isn't it? It's terrible if there's a gender-specific club in the village of Dull, it's always going to be the Dull Men's football team or whatever. So anyway, they're railing against the fact that they're perceived as dull and boring, which it always seems to be the people who rail against. You know, people who go, well, no, I'm not dull, I'm not boring. They're always the most boring, aren't they? That seems to what's happening here. So Mrs. Keddy from the Dull Women's Books Society says, we're also excited at the prospect of a new road sign. If you're excited at the prospect of a new road sign, maybe you are a bit dull. That's all I'm going to say to those people.
She sounds like a funster.
Yeah, she's bonkers, man. XFM. Matt Dyson, let's get the good news in the studio. And it could be anything. I mean, we've been away for a couple of days, haven't we? We had the weekend. With Friday afternoon as well. Lots of good things happened then. And of course, the Jubilee weekend. Could be anything, couldn't it? Yeah. Matt, what's it going to be?
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
We have really good email password security here at XFM.
Oh, I see.
So much so that having ignored the latest of the seemingly constant demands for me to change my current password, you've seen them.
Yeah.
Before the start of the bank holiday weekend, I'm now locked out of my work email until the IT department gets in.
I see.
So at least no one else will have access to my inbox either, meaning all is safe and sound.
Okay.
It's a sort of a good news style angry nerd rant mashup.
It's a hybrid, isn't
yeah, it?
Yeah, we're pushing the boundaries of this genre. Good news, guys. Matt Dyson lumbered round my house on Saturday and was really well behaved. He brought with him some chocolate cherries and a packet of mini poppadoms as house gifts, and then sat in my garden making polite chit-chat with my wife's cousin.
Booze as well. I mean.
Well, you brought a couple of cans for yourself. There was no swearing. He didn't knock anything over with his cumbersome elbows. And we checked the drawers after he'd gone and nothing was missing.
Yeah.
Seems Matt is finally working through his issues. Soon he'll be ready for reintegration into society, subject, of course, to the very strict conditions of his bail.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Fresh from being on stage at the Emirates with Coldplay, I believe. Simon Pegg!
Hooray!
Not quite fresh from there, but you were there. You were there on Monday?
I was. I wasn't planning on doing the harmonica spot this time because I actually had a conversation with Chris before the gig saying, I just want to watch the show. Every time I... Because I've done this intermittently since 2001.
Yeah.
The first time I ever did it was V2001.
Yeah.
And he sort of said, do you want to do it? And I'm like, oh, I just want to enjoy the show. I just don't want to sit there being...
Chris, I don't want to get involved.
I did, honestly.
Chris.
I was so whiny about it. Like, I just want to watch. I don't want to feel nervous for the
moment.
And then it's like, oh, all right then.
Yeah. So
it was epic. It was great.
Yeah. I went on the Saturday. It was sad to miss you there. But yeah, I imagine it must be a bit like Chris is like your mum trying to get you to show off at a dinner party.
Come on, Simon, get your harmonica out.
I don't want it, Mum. Secretly, you totally do.
I did. When you're up there, it's just the most... I mean, I feel like it's like Jim Will Fix It. It's like I shouldn't be there. I'm not part of that world. And yet I'm getting to play it in front of 70,000 people or whatever. It's a ridiculous privilege.
You're a Coldplay constant, though. You're a Coldplay constant.
I've known them for a long time, you know.
How did you meet?
Long time ago, before they were on a bill with Top Loader, remember them?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Playing at the Millennium Dome, as it was then called. And my wife was looking after Top Loader's publicity.
Uh-huh.
She didn't want to. It was just something she had to do.
Right.
And and I met Chris there, and he'd seen Big Train, which is a sketch show we did back
amazing,
in the
yeah.
And he sort of came out and said, oh, I like your show.
Yeah.
And I really liked him. He's such a good guy. And then we just became friends. And then I've been friends with him as he's become this gigantic.
Yeah.
And not changed really as a person at all.
Really?
He seems still like exactly the same sort of self-effacing, slightly bothered by everything, you know, the fame thing.
God, the two of you backstage is like, I don't want to go out either.
Why do we have to know?
No, he loves my name.
For him, performing is like, you know, that's when he comes to life. But
really?
I think the whole thing of... For a long time, he was embarrassed by his own success. He felt like it made him a bad person in some
really?
Way.
Okay.
Yeah. But now he's okay with it.
And he's essentially turned you into one of the world's, I would say, well, premier harmonica players. If you're playing regularly to around 60,000 to 70,000 people.
Do you know what?
Name me one other harmonica player that does
Barry
that.
Adler.
Oh, right. Yeah, fair enough.
If you get a harmonica in the right key and the right song, you can just suck and blow and it sounds good. Believe
yeah,
me.
It's good.
If you can
that's
bend
good.
A note, if you can go up and down a little bit, it sounds like you can play.
Tips for life. I was just saying how wise Simon's become. It's like since last time we met him, he's decided to become wise. And during the ads and some of the records, you've just been, you know, spouting wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's all like perfectly formed little
42,
nuggets.
Isn't it? I'm 42 years old. It's the age. It's the age.
There's
of
meaning,
the meaning
of life as well. Yeah. Well, so it all fits. And Star Trek as well. You've already told us you're giving us no exclusives whatsoever. We're not that fussed. That's fine. Just a generic story about Star Trek will be fine.
I tell you what, we did some shooting up in a facility in Northern California called NIF, which stands for the National Ignition Facility.
Oh.
And it was an extraordinary location, and it's where they're trying to create nuclear fusion.
Oh.
So that every day, so six times a day, they're bombarding hydrogen atoms with lasers to try and create a star.
Yeah.
Which will essentially, when they succeed, when they get ignition, will change the face of the Earth. The geopolitical map of Earth will change. No reliance on fossil fuels. It's totally emission free.
Yeah.
It will change. Dependency on the Middle East will change. 6 months, they think.
In 6 months?
The guy who ran the project, this guy Bruno, who was this incredible Belgian sort of genius who will go down in history like Einstein and Edison if they achieve this.
Bruno.
Yeah, his name's Bruno.
Bruno. Bruno the Belgian.
We said, when are you going to do this? When are you going to create a star and power the Earth with a small star in a box? Maybe 6 months, 5 years. It's like,
wow.
Yeah.
So in this is a Simon Pegg exclusive, everyone. According to a Belgian man named Bruno he met, there's going to be a star in a box which changes the world within 6 months.
The geopolitical fact. You know, the funny thing was, they're creating the most incredible source of energy imaginable. This is future stuff. This is incredible. They were all so jazzed that we were there doing Star Trek. They're all nerds.
Yeah,
so we had, like, Bruno had his red shirt on in the engine room, like, just sort of being an extra, just stood there. Didn't move a muscle. JJ couldn't get him to act. He just stood there smiling in a red shirt.
That's delightful. So sweet. That is very sweet indeed. Now, A Fantastic Theory of Everything opens tomorrow. There's a wonderful moment right at the end of the film where me and Matt just looked at each other and went, really? Crispin Mills from Cooler Shaker wrote and directed this film.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
That's amazing.
But then he's also Crispin Mills from the Mills dynasty. You know,
of course.
His mum and dad, Roy Bolting and Hayley Mills, met weirdly on the soundstage we shot the movie on at Shepperton. And Crispin didn't know this until his mum came to visit and said, "Oh, I met your father here." And it was like this room was responsible for his existence.
You're like at the centre of everything.
I'm a cosmic nexus.
You're the little star in a box, powering everything around.
6 months. We are
getting trapped in a boring conversation with a fellow passenger aboard a plane could be a thing of the past, thanks to a new system developed by Latvian National Airline. You're familiar with Air Baltic, of course.
Oh yeah.
Well, they've got a new seat buddy scheme, which aims to sit, well, like-minded flyers next to each other, right? So when you're checking in, you can do a little questionnaire, say what you're interested in. So, for example, Matt, what are you interested in?
Oh, capers and football and music.
Music, capers and football. That will go straight into the seat buddy system.
Right.
And you'd be paired up with your ideal conversational partner, a caper chef who lives near the Emirates and enjoys music. So this is what would happen. You would tick from three preferred flight moods, right? And your moods, I can't be bothered speaking to anyone.
Right.
I don't mind, or I'm extraordinarily chatty.
Yeah, good.
And you do get... I've done a lot of travelling recently, and the pilot came on the other day and said, I hope you have a memorable flight. And I was like, no, I don't... The last thing I want is a memorable flight.
Yeah.
A memorable flight is when things go a bit wrong.
Yeah.
I want a completely uneventful flight that I forget about the minute I get off the plane.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation once, a genuine conversation, where a man thought that there'd been a conspiracy to keep Britain's railways down by using a quarter-inch nut on tracks rather than a European half-inch nut standard. Something like that. I can't remember the exact measurements. I think I passed out halfway through. How about you? Have you ever heard a conversation like that?
Well, you know, like, you go to house parties and people have different groups of friends.
Yeah.
Different circles. And some of them you probably wouldn't get on with as much as the ones in your circle.
Yes.
Well, I came together at one house party with a different circle of friends and stood around in a kitchen with about three or four former members of the Cambridge University Dungeons and Dragons Society. they talked to me about 20-sided dice, and they stood around drinking tea. I've never been to a house party where people drink cups of tea.
So you're standing there having to talk about D&D.
Yeah, yeah.
And your natural thing is to ask questions. So every time you ask a question, they start to answer. You must be thinking, I'm a fool to myself.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
I eventually edged out of the kitchen and never went back.
I don't blame you. We are XFL! Let's get the good news where you are. Lots of different good news. We've got good news updates. Good news about lunches. Good news about holidays. Hit me with some good news now, Matt.
Good news, guys. The two humans I've been laboriously farming for the last 4 years are almost ready to be brainwashed at the local school.
Oh.
Whoopee!
Mother of the Year.
That's anonymous Mother of the Year.
Billy and Battersea, I've got one word good news, guys. And that one word is Vegas. Billy's off to Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Oh, prepare Vegas for Billy from Battersea. The carnage.
Oh, yeah.
The other Gareth from Hoddesdon. Now, he says, I've started a chart, guys, which allows me to have a beer for every hour's exercise that I do. Beer is currently winning 7-0 after one day. That's good news. Well done. Nice. Well done. Matt.
Good news, guys. Tis Paul from Welling again.
Oh, yes.
He says, I've just been invited around my girlfriend's house for the day. It's just going to be me, her, and a shed load of Harry Potter.
Oh!
If that's not good news, Danny, then I don't know what is. Smiley face.
He really doesn't know what good news is then, does he?
No.
Good news, guys, says Kevin, brackets 28, close brackets, from Finsbury Park. Thank you. We should do that from now on, shouldn't
formal.
We?
Formal. Yeah,
let's get ages from now on, every text you do. Good news, guys. After years of thinking people in far-flung places of this world feasted themselves on live monkey brains, I've discovered it was just Spielberg planting false memories in my head and not the insightful documentary I thought I'd once seen. I am now free to roam this earth without fear and enjoy very many culinary delights it has to offer. That's good
That's
news.
Lovely, that is.
Imagine
yeah.
that.
It's a scene that stayed with all of us, I think, in the 80s.
Very much so, very much so. But now Kevin is free.
Good
of
news.
Those preconceptions. What else?
Good news, guys. Bainesy in Dulwich.
Oh, Bainesy.
He's off to Barcelona tomorrow to exercise the ghost of Reading Festival 96 and see the glorious resurrection of the Stone Roses.
Wow, Bainesy.
They're playing those razzmatazz shows, aren't they? Bainesy's going to love it.
Bainesy and Barca. Razzmatazz.
Yeah, that club in Barcelona.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be like a razzmatazz show. That's just painting a different picture.
That's what you meant. They're coming out with their jazz hands. As I'm early to work today, I've stopped to get a coffee. I really don't want to work today. I'm not sure, is that for us? Is that for good news or is that come to another show? Lord has been given some pizza for lunch. That's good news. And good news and bad news, guys, from Gareth. He says, I've put my rates up and they're being widely accepted by my customers. Oh. That's good news. But Rubbishgate has escalated. There are now two TVs in the recycling area, one old format and one flat screen. That's bad news. They can't always end on good news, can they? We've got to mix these up. Unless you've got one more for
I've got
them.
One more little
Here we go, let's rescue this.
From little Jason.
Oh, yeah?
Good news, guys.
What's that little tyke one?
I've just realised that I've never heard a single minute of any Justin Bieber song.
You know what?
That is... Wow. No. Tell
it's
us.
Not, it's not good news, is it?
It's not good news.
No. That's great news. Excellent work. Well done, well done, well done. Although we will play a moment of Justin Bieber.
No.
Can we get some Justin Bieber? We're going to play some Justin Bieber
not
just to annoy
minute,
him.
No.
Well, we're going to destroy him. It's like, the most interesting thing about me used to be that I'd never eaten a prawn. And then I ate a prawn. And then suddenly that interesting thing had gone. We're going to rob little Jason of his interesting fact.
We are XFM.
Brad, are you there?
I am there indeed.
How are you this morning?
I'm actually feeling a lot better now, actually, just as you phoned me up, because I wasn't feeling too great over Jubilee, so I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, but now I'm kind of like feeling 100%.
Oh, that's good. What was the trouble?
It was kind of man flu, standard stuff, you know.
Standard man flu, Brad. Well, it's all in the past.
Yeah, I know, shameful.
Are you familiar with Quizface?
Yes. Yep, I know the bits and bobs that I need to do, yeah.
No, he's not familiar with it. He's not, is he? Have you heard Quizface before?
I haven't, no, but I kind of got the gist of it very right. quickly a second ago.
You should know the rules by now, Prad. So let's get quizzical.
A limb quiz!
So, today's Quizface, Prad, is... A limb quiz. As usual, we're just going to straight into it. Like I say, you should know the rules by now. So we will start with the long jump.
Long jump!
As usual, it's very simple. Very simple technique, Prad. Just take your run up by shouting run 5 times. Go!
Run, 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 run!
Okay, when you hear the power bar stop, shout jump. He's jumping. Oh, look at him go. That's it. Look at that. First go, Prad. That is a world record. Let's move on to high jump now, Prad.
High jump.
Take your run up by shouting run 9 times, Prad. Go.
Run, 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 run.
When you hear the power bar stop, shout jump.
Jump.
Oh. Oh. Look at that. Brad.
He's a natural.
That's a world record discus now. Spin around by shouting spin 5 times. Go.
Spin, 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 spin.
When you hear the power bar stop, shout chuck it.
Chuck it.
Amazing work. Just glorious. Ping pong now. I'm serving to you. Hit the ball back by shouting return. Here comes the ball.
Return.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, he's good.
You're
an absolute natural. The amount of people I've seen. Yeah, I've seen people fail at this terribly. It's a world record, Prad. You're the only person in history to do this. The eyes of the world, Prad, are upon you now as I take you through to the press conference. Now, Prad, you've got so many people to thank. So many people who've played an important role in your training. So when a microphone comes to you for your big moment, I wonder what you'll say. What words of wisdom do you have, Prad? And I'll be honest, this is a kind of code word. We are looking for a specific phrase here.
hint, nudge, nudge. We are XFM!
He's done it! Prad, I was so worried. It really
the pressure,
seemed like,
the pressure was getting to me, I'm not going to lie.
It just seemed like you didn't know the rules at all. Just improvising your way through. I have to be clear, you really should know the rules by now, Prad. And if anyone out there doesn't know the rules, then, you know, we really must ask you to look into this.
XFM.
I think we found it. This is for little Jason. Got it? We've robbed Jason of the one interesting thing about him.
XFM.
Last week, after the show, we went out for a traditional end-of-week post-show pint, didn't we, Dave?
Yes.
And it was great fun. It was great fun. We had a couple of drinks and we sat there in the lovely sun, didn't we, in the middle of London's glittering West End. And you were there and I noticed that you were just leaning on a kind of a post. What are they? You know, they're kind of the rope posts. I don't know what they're called.
The rope bollards.
The rope bollards.
Yeah.
It's another way of saying rope poster,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's more cumbersome. And what happened? Matt, you don't know about this. What happened, Dave?
Well, I was just leaning across it with my hand on the top of it.
Just leaning across it.
And then without really thinking whilst we were chatting away.
That's right.
Just slipped my little finger into one of the holes where the ropes would usually hook onto.
It's a harmless enough thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. But then it went right past the knuckle.
Yeah.
And at that point, you may have noticed I went a little bit quiet because then I started to worry.
You went quiet and pale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't actually get my finger back out again.
Yeah, exactly. So, poor Dave was stuck to a rope post, a rope bollard, right?
And his finger was
in the middle of Leicester Square.
Yeah. Oh. And he's just there. And it's funny at first. And then it gets a little bit worrying because he really can't get out of this, right? And it's me and work experience Steve. There are passers-by going, why has this guy got this very casual sort of look to him? Dave properly goes pale. That's when I started recording the whole thing. So we've got this great video of Dave stuck to a post. And the various shenanigans that happened. Are we putting that on the Facebook page?
Yeah, I think we should, yeah.
It's on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And this very much is something that I think fits in very nicely with our regular feature, What's He Done This Time? So Dave showed it to his girlfriend Hannah. He's in the doghouse, isn't he?
Yeah, she's lovely.
So why are you in the doghouse, Matt?
Well, old Muggins here was only meant to be cleaning the bathroom yesterday afternoon ahead of the arrival of some weekend guests.
Yeah.
But ended up having a nap on the sofa.
Oh! He's in the doghouse, isn't he? So, Muggins here.
Yeah.
He was walking downstairs this morning, wasn't he? Hey, Muggins.
His nibs.
Yeah. And he managed to avoid the creaky floorboard, didn't he? You know the one.
Yeah.
And then the one on the landing as well. Did very well indeed. Didn't want to wake anyone, that's the whole point. Shut the bathroom door without making the lock click, you know. It's a loud noise at 5 in the morning. Turned the light on after the door had shut, all right? All good. Nice. Textbook so far.
Yeah.
Forgot about the burglar alarm, didn't he?
Oh.
Whole blinking house went off. I'm in the doghouse. So, it's 1979!
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. The Sun newspaper. Not sure if you heard of that one. It's got a new guest columnist today. And it's the animal expert, Chris Packham. You familiar with Chris Packham?
Yes, a big fan of his work. I've always wondered what his views are on the world.
Well,
today I can find out.
Good. It's a bit odd, I'll be honest. It's a bit odd. Yeah. I mean, he's always struck me as a man with his head screwed on right, him and Nutkins. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to find it now, aren't you?
Yeah, I want to.
Well, don't bother, because let me regale you. Well, let me read you an entire bit. And I'm not entirely sure what's going on here. You know, the thing about a column is they have to have a point. They have to have a thing that they're, you know, a point to make.
Right.
And they try and convince you on that point, maybe with a joke here or there. This is in a little blue box. It's about 100 words. It just says,
I like foxes. I'm partial to peregrine falcons. Even voles get my vote. But nothing gets me as excited as creatures that have acid for blood. That's when you start going, this is getting a bit odd. My idea of a perfect weekend involves grabbing my binoculars and heading off to LV-426 for a spot of terraforming, not forgetting my M41A 10mm pulse rifle. All right. Everyone's gone a bit quiet in the studio at that moment. And then he says, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. Smith's reference. Right, yeah. On Friday, I crash-landed in the local multiplex to see Ridley Scott's Prometheus. What I got was 3D action on an epic scale, but there was never a real sense of danger or fear. The only xenomorphs were in the row behind, and the film left my girlfriend in a coma. And that's it. So it started off about foxes, there's peregrine falcons, it goes into voles for some reason, then he's like getting a space gun out, yeah. Going to the cinema.
Does his Smith reference, like he loves to do.
Two Smith references in there. And then a seemingly unprovoked attack on innocent cinema goers. This is a very odd column that Chris Packham has turned in.
Strange movie review, isn't it?
Because it sort of is a movie review.
I think that's what it is.
Why is it all about foxes and voles?
Who are these animals with acid for blood?
The Sun must have got this very late last night. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They're going, should we email him back? Yeah. We're going to get a print in 3 minutes. Yeah. All right, publish it. Who knows what it's about?
There'll be some changes by the second edition.
Very, very unusual. It's like something that get read out in court. A few days after a rampage of some kind.
Nutkins needs to have a word.
Nutkins, get involved. Packham's breaking down. There's something strange here. I'm sure it all makes sense. Maybe it's too early for me.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Let's find out why you're in the doghouse. Oh, man. You're fools to yourselves. You really are. You know, confirmed listener Billy.
Yeah, that's what's he done this time?
Well, he's been using.
I never get this bit right.
Immediately forgotten. I even said to you seconds ago, don't forget to say that. And you're like, yeah, got it.
Let's start again.
You know, confirmed listener Billy.
What's he done this time?
Well, he's been using Paul's mug, hasn't he, at work?
Yeah. Oh.
Chipped the handle. Tried to glue it back on. Put the chip in the wrong way around. Oh. The glue was quick drying. Paul noticed straight away. Now Billy's in the doghouse, isn't he?
Where's that dog?
Dexter. What else?
Dexter. You know old confirmed listener Anonymous?
Oh, yeah. Well, not really. But what have they done this time?
Texted me five times and never revealed their name.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What have he or she done this time?
Well, they've only gone and spilt yoghurt on their cat.
Now
skirts around the kitchen, avoiding the exact spot where the incident occurred.
Ironically, where are they now?
Yes, in the doghouse.
Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
Glaring up at them with a wounded sort of look on their face. Poor little cat.
You know, confirmed listener Tony in Bow.
What's he done this time?
He was meant to be taking Jenny out, wasn't he, after her Zumba class. Went for a swift one. It was an hour late. Now Jenny's revoked his Bruce Willis DVD time. He's in the doghouse, isn't he? Confirmed listener Fran says, Muggins here. I only went and ate Dexter's luncheon meat and my sandwiches. Dexter did not look happy. I'm definitely in Dexter's doghouse. Who else?
You know, confirmed listener Rachel.
What's she done this time?
Well, her mum's friend, John, was supposed to go and see some jazz with her tonight.
Uncle John, was it? Uncle John.
Yeah. But he couldn't because his boat in Spain has a hole in it. So old Muggins has had to cancel at the last minute.
Oh, no.
And now I'm being punished because she's making me go.
Oh, Rachel. In the doghouse. You're Sarah in Bow.
What's she done this time?
She took the batteries out of the remote control, didn't she? You know? Popped it in the travel alarm clock to lend to her mum. Didn't tell Steve. Steve didn't know where the batteries now. You know, he's kind of, why isn't the remote control working? He doesn't know where the batteries are kept. He had to use the ones from his Xbox controller. Oh. He hates switching batteries back and forth. Sarah's in the doghouse.
Oh,
and Joe from Dartford, finally. I'll just keep pausing till you say it.
What's he done this time?
Well, he's been bending the copper pipe on the roof of his mate's van every day this week to make his day's work just a bit harder. Oh, Joe. Oh, we just had a phone call.
Mark, what you done this time?
I went to the pet shop last Saturday to get a few supplies, and I came back with a 3-foot anery corn snake.
Oh, it happens. Don't beat yourself up about it. Oh, it's nice to find out that why are people in the doghouse. Hopefully you get out of the doghouse as the day progresses. You know Dave Masterman?
What's he done this time?
I was just checking if you could checking if you would remember.
I've got it now. The end of the feature.
Just looking at the papers here, everybody. Some unusual stories. Lots to do with aviation this morning. Sunglasses for babies. That's become a hit.
That's right.
And they're called Babyators. Sometimes I think they come up with the name before they come up with the product. Like doggles.
Yeah.
There's no reason a dog needs goggles.
No.
But one day they just went, doggles?
Sounds good.
I'm investing. Yeah. What's happening? There's an artist in the Netherlands, and his cat was very sadly run over. So obviously he wants to bury the cat, Matt.
Yeah.
And this is a guy called Bart Janssen, and his cat Orville. And what he did instead of burying it, he stuffed it, and then teamed up with a radio control helicopter expert to attach miniature propellers to each of the cat's four paws. The cat has been renamed now. Now it's called Orville after Orville Wright. It's a piece of artwork now. The Orville copter is on show at various art festivals. It's half cat, half machine. And what happens is, you can imagine what happens. You press forward on the thing and all the propellers go off, and this cat, which sort of looks like it's like falling, is actually rising. And I've seen a picture of this cat. And never has a dead cat looked more shocked. I don't know if you can experience emotions after the death if you are a cat, but this certainly does not look happy.
It flies around.
It flies. It's quite unsteady. Because I mean, the tail, I imagine, acts as a sort of a rudder system.
Right. Yeah.
But for his birthday, the cat, which sounds weird anyway, he's going to receive a more powerful engine and larger propellers. So soon this cat will be extraordinarily steady.
Right. This is a dead cat.
This is a cat called Orville, yeah. A cat which was once alive, which is now a helicopter. Are you happy about this, Matt?
I don't think it's healthy, no.
Healthy for what? Society?
For anyone, specifically the guy that did it. I don't think it's right.
Again, it's another art project that does sound like the beginnings of a breakdown.
It should move on, yeah.
Really should, yeah. You know. And why a helicopter? Why, you look at a cat and you go, oh, it'd be great to... What's a fitting tribute for this cat which has given me so much joy over the years? Fly it about.
Yeah.
Fly it about like a kite. Like a kite? Now, that's like a doggles, isn't it?
Yeah.
A kite.
Right, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's what the cat would have wanted, I'm sure.
Not a helicatter. We are XFM. So let's find out what we've learned today. Matt. What have you learned?
Well, he's the wisest man in showbiz.
Thank you.
Confirmed consistent celebrity listener, Simon Pegg. He shared his teachings with us this morning on the XFM Breakfast Show, like a cinematic shaman, imparting his knowledge to us, his wide-eyed followers. It was like being on the couch with him at one point as he explained my deep-rooted psychological issues.
Yeah, it's true.
That caused my irrational fears. He also broke some news about a world-changing event in America involving nuclear fusion.
He claimed the world will be irrevocably altered in less than 6 months, thanks to a red-shirted Belgian called Bruno. Who's growing a star in a box.
Yeah.
So within 6 months, we will know. Also on today's show, we discovered, the bizarre trains of thought that naturalist Chris Packham brings to today's guest column in The Sun, moving effortlessly from foxes to voles to binoculars to the use of an M41A 10mm pulse rifle, and all in 100 words or less. And off-air, work experience Steve pleaded with Matt to give him a cuddle, something Matt absolutely outright and flatly refused until just moments ago, when a downhearted Steve prepared to leave the studio and received a warming, hearty cuddle that literally swept him off his feet and into the air. What was going through your mind when you got him in the air?
I just wanted to embrace the little guy.
Well, you did. You certainly embraced him. He'll be feeling that for weeks. We are...
XFM. Breakfast.
XFM.
So there you go. That was podcast number 45 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt Dyson, what's happening next week?
We're off. We're off on holiday, aren't we?
We are. You Yay. And me, we're off on holiday. Just imagine us just holding hands, skipping down the street with those little, well, those sticks with knotted handkerchiefs on. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Like Dick Whittington.
Yeah. Just you'll bring the sandwiches, I'll bring the squash. So we're away for a week, but what's happening instead?
Oh, well, this is a special. Coming up on podcast number 46.
Yes.
We will be delving into Danny's archive.
We certainly
so
will.
So to speak.
looking back.
Sounds a bit pervy, that, doesn't it?
Well, no.
Or is it just me?
No, it's just you, but now it's everyone. See you then. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.